All right, welcome to episode 2 of Don't Get Whiff Eliminated. I'm your host, filling in for Carl Coffey. He unfortunately has come down with what he believes to be the coronavirus. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and everyone that has to come into contact with him. Anyway, so this is going to be the Fast Plastic episode of Don't Get Whiff Eliminated. Got a great panel. First, my sidekick slash judge, Connor Soup Young. How are you doing, Connor?
I'm doing better than you, Tom.
Yeah, well, you're still my sidekick. Anyway, David Road Toast Wood, our first member of the panel. How you
also
doing, Toast?
Also love that Connor is your sidekick, Tom. Love that.
Thank you. And also love that you're doing the other Around the Horn style Whiffle Ball show with Golden Stick. Glad to see the crossover there.
Yeah, cool.
All right, we've also got Chris Red Sarnowski. How you doing?
Good, Tom. Good, how are you, man?
Pretty good. I kind of forgot your first name was Chris. That was weird to say out loud. Also on the panel, we have Jordan Jumpman Robles. Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm all good. I'm really trying not to die, and so far I'm winning that battle all daily. And, trying to find old pizza rolls.
Awesome. Yeah, I hear they're running low. Supply chain problems. Anyway, our fourth member of the panel filling in, Rob Landrieu, needs no introduction. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well, but definitely doing better than Connor because he sucks.
Yeah, that really doesn't surprise me. I hope everyone's doing better than Connor. So here's how this show works. There's four questions. Each person takes a turn going first, second, third, fourth in a rotation. The lowest score gets eliminated after the third question, and then someone gets eliminated after the fourth question. And then the fifth question is going to be a mystery question with the last two guys, and whoever gets the better score gets his 30 seconds of fame. So Connor's our judge. He's making the scoring system and deciding who gets whiff eliminated. Anyway, I'm sure you're tired of hearing me, so let's get this thing started. Our first question about Fast Plastic. So obviously there's some controversy about their new rule system and all that. Billy Owens, he gets a lot of criticism for what he does with Fast Plastic, but honestly, he gives you guys all a place to play. Without him, who knows if all those guys are even getting together at all. So as much as he's given to the sport, is this criticism unfair, or do he deserve everything he gets? First, David Wood.
Billy Owens, does he deserve the criticism that he gets?
That is the question, yeah.
That question already answered. Either
take
way,
everything I say with a grain of salt.
You know, it's just like he ripped my chest open, ripped my heart out, and took a shit where it used to be. You know, you pour your heart and soul into the tournament, into backing him up, into talking good things about him, and then he goes and does some really crazy stuff like this, and then just disappears. No one knows where he's been. No one knows. I mean, he's got burners all over the place. No one knows what he's doing. And I think he deserves every bit of criticism he can get, if not more. I think he deserves more than the Astros.
Wow, more than the Astros. That's a lot, because I think the Astros deserve a lot. Anyway, Chris Sarnowski, you're up.
Yeah, I definitely think he deserves it. I think the only criticism he's really getting is about the rules and the style of the tournament and shit. And, I mean, he's not really getting criticized on anything else, like how well he's been doing and, well, how well all the other tournaments have been and stuff. It's just the rule change, and I mean, it's a pretty dumbass move if you ask me. Let the best play the best. And he definitely deserves every ounce of it. I just wish he would have talked to some people. Seems like no one can get in there at all, which, I mean, that's kind of the biggest slap in the face. Is, I mean, we go support this, and he won't even talk to us. So, yeah, I he deserves every bit of it. I mean, I love Billy. These tournaments are awesome. Without them, we wouldn't have some great moments like the Finley Lob Grand Slam with Haverty. So I love Billy, but yeah, he definitely needed to talk to someone and do something about it.
Bonus points for the Finley Lob Drop.
All right. Jordan, you're up next. And Rob, you're on deck.
Does he deserve criticism? I would say absolutely. Being someone that's gone to every tournament the last 3 years, he's kind of slapping those loyal customers directly in the face by saying, although you've supported me and traveled to Texas once every year, you can't play with other dedicated players. You don't have to seek out people that probably don't give a shit. So you're hurting the people that are the most passionate, which makes absolutely no sense. hurting the people that have been loyal to your product all these years, and trying to cater maybe to Midwest players that over the test of time, they've never come to any national tournament, whether it be Fast Plastic, Golden Stick, Wiffle Up, whatever it is, you name it. They've not been there. It's been in Savannah, Boston, Arizona, and now Texas. So I don't know why he's bending over backwards for people that have never actually supported his product and slapping people that have supported the product in the face by doing this. I don't like it. It's bad. Bad news, and yeah, definitely deserves criticism. Talk to your players first, too, before you're going to make a big drastic move like that, and at least have the audacity to try and defend your take or your view for why you made that move. That also kind of, it's just very childish disappearing after making such a big change like that. But yeah, fuck the Bears. Fuck ISIS.
All right, I don't know if there's anything else left to say, Rob, but you're up.
Well, the aggressive guys came before me to spout their issues with Billy and Fast Plastic and the way he's handled things. And as a guy who's run events for a long time, I totally get it from the player's end. And my issue with Billy from the beginning has really been his thick-headedness and his inability to listen to not just someone like myself, but everyone on this panel and beyond. He's really kept his group very close to the vest and very secretive at times, which, you know, if you've been around the block in wiffle ball, agendas are always a high part of the game. And without that transparency, things fell apart pretty quickly and the trust just disappeared. And I'm not going to get on him personally. But I will say that he does deserve this criticism.
Boring answer. Minus two. Plus one for the agenda. Shout out.
All right, Connor. I know you have a very complex point system. It's a real something out of a beautiful mind kind of thing. But anyway, let's get on to the second question. Lots of people consider the Fast Plastic Texas Open to be the ultimate championship in wiffle ball, like the national championship. So if that goes away, what other tournament do you think will take its place and be, you know, the tournament that people go to? Leading off is Sarno.
So at least for me, the best tournament next season would be the Yard Open. Whether I think that's going to be in Boston again or if it comes back to Staten Island. That is one of the best tournaments I've ever been to. I look forward to that one just as much as I do Fast Plastic every single year. So you get like, Rob, I don't know, 30, 40 teams that come out to this thing and it's been growing. So that's what I would deem, at least looking forward, that would be the best tournament next year. But for something in, like, fast pitch, I think it would have to be, you'd have to get something where the Cali guys come over, Las Vegas Whifflers. You need those kind of guys, and you need to pretty much be scuffball, put your own team together, build your best team possible, and go. And, then, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it'll be player decided of when you look back, like, you know what, we had the best competition that year at that tournament. So I think that's all we're waiting for. Just I would think there's a panel of people out there trying to get something together if Fast Plastic would fold, and I think we'll be okay one day. I think it'll
so
all
think be, a, so you got, be a new tournament.
Yeah, there'll always be another tournament. I think that'll take its place. Hopefully take its place. I mean, Golden Stick was getting there before Fast Plastic came back with doing their draft tournament, so they were on the right page. And I think someone will definitely take it over. The players want to play at the highest competition. So we'll kind of, you give us a place, if someone can put it together, we will go. I mean, I don't think that's the issue. It's just setting it up. That's the hardest
part. Absolutely. And I heard a rumor about some tournament in Chicago that's supposed to be happening. But anyway, next up we have Jordan. And Rob, you're on deck.
All right, yeah, that was a good segue to that, the Champions Cup in Chicago, Illinois. I would say that tournament, format-wise, has a lot of potential to maybe be that next big tournament. And, I mean, if you win that, there's undoubtedly no excuse that you're the best team because you have the yard aspect, the fast pitch aspect combined, two into one. I don't know how it exactly works. I know one team declares, I want to hit yard or so on and so forth, whatever it is. I'd say that definitely has a lot of potential. There's always going to be someone that steps up, thankfully, and runs a national tournament, whether it be Golden Stick, the Cook Brothers, Robin and Dioria. There's so many good leaders that we have that I'm confident someone will put together a national tournament. Where it's going to be, I'm not sure. Especially with COVID happening this year, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But I'm sure there will be a big national tournament when it comes to fast pitch without any rules or stipulations based on who you can team with. The best thing about the Texas Open and the National Championship is seeing the best players play the best players. There's no player evaluations, whatever it is, or roster restrictions. So it will happen. Who it will be, I personally would like to say it's going to be Rob, Foodman, and the Cooks. I hope the players that are on the West Coast and the Midwest actually travel. There's no excuse for them not to. I'm going to be at the Champions Cup as long as the COVID virus allows me to. So, I mean, I don't really – I think Fast Plastics kind of ran its course. They played themselves in the words of DJ Khaled, but, hey, sucks to suck. Better look next year. Fun on JB.
Come on.
All right, speaking of Rob, you're up.
Well, I would say to pretty much everyone on this panel that, with the exception of maybe Gannon, who maybe never played in one of the Golden Stick fast pitch opens, we all came about seeing our first national championship through a Golden Stick event. So there's certainly precedent set that there could be one major event each year without Fast Plastic being that specific tournament. I think the player body that's been in all of those tournaments since the early 2000s have pretty much been the same, and it's been the same core of guys that have come and played no matter what every single year. And my whole thing has been, no matter what we do in terms of trying to draw in Midwest guys, West Coast guys, fringe players, at the end of the day, as long as there's a trusted group of dudes running it, we're going to get the same 12 to 16 teams every year. And it's up to the players and everyone who's going around playing in different formats, events all across the country, to convince these fringe guys that, listen, you got to try this one-time thing out in New York or somewhere in the Northeast maybe this year because of what's gone on this year. So this could be a blessing in disguise in that the whole public health issue is actually going to force our hand, holding something a little closer to the vest this year in terms of a fast pitch national championship. Whereas if Fast Plastic folds, or even if it doesn't, going to Texas just may not be possible this year. So to be able to decide, you know, in the next few months or so that we're going to do something in the Northeast and build up interest that way, when everyone else's formats and regular seasons are going in the shitter every 2 weeks, they were getting pushed back more and more. So those leagues that people, you know, that all of us are used to playing in all season may not be there this year in the capacity that we're used to. So if there's one thing to hang our hat on at the end of the year, and it's a national championship fast pitch tournament that's still going to happen, guys are going to be excited for the year no matter when it actually starts.
Come on.
That was better, Bob.
All right. Toast, finish us off. Second leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough to go last in this question because everyone kind of covered it in front of me. I agree with Red that the Yard Open is a very prestigious tournament. You get just as much talent there as you do at any Fast Plastic fast pitch tournament. It's just the difference in style of play. One's yard pitch, and then the other one's fast pitch. I mean, it's the same player body, if not more players with pedigree in yard than in fast pitch. But if it goes away, which I think it will, I don't think anyone's going to show up to Fast Plastic if it happens, besides people that are around that area where it is. If that does happen, I think that there's enough, I don't know, hash is too common of a word. I don't know. It's hard to put in to words what it would be, but people are just unsteady and they want that one tournament, that one solidifying tournament that says, hey, you are the guys this year. I know Mid-Atlantic's fast pitch is top tier on prestige. I mean, it's not easy to win the championship in Mid-Atlantic with all the talent that's in there, but people are still looking for that one tournament that pops up that you can just throw a team together and you're like, hey, this is who I feel confident with this year. I want to play with this guy no matter what happens. No stupid roster rules or nothing. I want to play with this dude. Let's show up. Let's play. And let's play against the other people. And let's see who's the best. I still think that that idea lives. And I think that that's going to come to fruition sooner rather than later. So I think another tournament's going to pop up for sure.
Connor, you want to do a score up?
So we have, let me count. We have a three-way tie for first between Jordan, Toast and Rev, and Bob has zero.
Oh, wow, Bob still breaking even. I really thought he was giving me negative.
That minus 2 7 back, but he had, actually, wait, he might be plus one. Yes, Bob is plus one, actually.
This score is being kept just as good as Wiffle Ball stats.
Yep, plus one. So, Jordan, Toast, and Red have six, and Rob has one. That boring minus two really set him back. But, you never know. He could say something this round that just hits for 5 points, and, you know.
On to the next question. So Fast Plastic is definitely one of the most cutthroat wiffle ball tournaments. And as you guys know, shit talk is definitely a big part of this game. There's always a lot of Twitter beef. So Connor is going to give each of you guys a name and you're just going to just talk shit for 30 seconds. First up, we got Jordan.
All right. Jordan. Your player is Kayvon.
Yeah, Kayvon, don't like the guy. You know, wow. One of my former teammates had a lot of success with him. I've also had a lot of success against the kid in a lot of the tournaments that I've played him in. But fun fact, he definitely does pee sitting down. Very easy to get under the guy's skin. And if you disrupt his 52 toe tap rhythm, your rate of success will drastically increase. All you got to do is, you know, just say, Kyle, I don't like you. Or Kyle, you're a very bad player. And little things like that go a long way with him. So, hey, you know, take it from me. A lot of experience.
Yep. It's a great answer. Kyle throws a lot of meatballs. Two bonus points.
Can't confirm he throws meatballs.
Wow.
All right. And next up, we got Rob Toaster on deck.
So, Rob, you have the infamous piece of shit, James Stein.
Oh, you mean irrelevant? Whiffler, homeowner, teaching assistant, James Stein.
Yep.
The guy who complains about everything.
Yeah, I think we got the same guy.
He knows everything. Man, when you talk about just the run-of-the-mill piece of garbage, entitled piece of shit, you talk about James Stein. The guy runs a little podcast. No one wants to listen to the guy. He's played twice in the last decade. He's almost as bad as Didio.
Wow. All right, Toast.
That was incredible.
All right, Toast, you're up. Starting the game. 7 points for Bob.
He's not back dead yet. In the going.
Not dead yet. Not dead yet.
All right, Toast, you're up next. And Sarno, you're after that.
So, Toast, you have the young rising star, Gino Jofus.
Ooh! Gino Jofus, huh? Okay, this is good because he was talking trash about me being fat not long ago, so this is great. I like
him. You weigh 120 pounds.
Exactly. That's what makes it even better.
There's no way he weighs that much.
Anyways, let's go. Okay, Joseph, every time you smile, you look like Arthur's hand whenever you're standing there. It's very awkward. You need to learn how to smile. It's very, very weird. Your chin is disproportionate to your jawline. Second off, your girl follows me on Instagram, and I also just saw that she turned 18 not long ago. So watch out for that. And I'm going to end it right there. Come on!
Wow.
That's incredible.
I don't even know how to score that. I like it, though.
Your point system was not even built for that answer.
Potter, it's through the goddamn roof.
All right, I'll get back to you.
Tough to follow that one, Red, but your turn.
All right, that's
who's you got.
Next up, we have Red. So Red has a fellow ginger, a guy who gives gingers like himself a bad name, Vin Lee, Leah.
Wow, give him a softball.
Oh, Vin Lee. All right. Well, first of all, he's the uglier ginger in the league. We can say that. Let's start off there. Vin Lee, man. Why are you always cramping up and getting hurt in big-time situations? Jordan crushes a double off you, and you go down with an ankle, calf. We don't fucking know. It didn't happen. Balls up and actually play someone. Your arm all of a sudden hurts after Stant rakes you off the field for like 5 home runs. What is that, dude? I can't believe you went all the way to Texas. You took this whole windy-ass route to get there to throw a lob to Danny Haverty for a grand fucking slam. Feels bad, man.
Toast is crying. Toast is crying. Brad wins. I give up.
Damn it.
All right, yeah, I think it is elimination time.
Yep, let me just add up my scores here.
Yeah, yeah, take your time.
Second. The results are in.
Here we go.
All right, someone is about to get with eliminated. Connor, it's your world.
So, I'm actually going to start from first place and go to fourth. So, in first place right now, after a huge third round, Rob Laundrieu is actually in first with 10 points. Coming in second.
Kevin!
And tied for second right now with 9 points apiece is Toast and the Jumpman.
No!
In fourth place.
Wow, with a whopping
8 points.
No!
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, Red. You did give me the anger and the energy I wanted. It just wasn't there. I didn't feel that red phase. Wow. You didn't give me what I wanted. And that's just not going to cut it for me. If you don't come out here to play, you're going to get whiff eliminated first. I'm sorry.
Connor going to get raked all MAW this year by the Juggernauts.
So, right now, we have Bob in first. Toast and Jordan 1 point behind.
All right, so it's gonna be tight going into the last question.
Wow,
sure.
Wow.
All right,
what do we got now?
So the last question. This has been a pretty negative show. Some people think that the Wiffleball community isn't exactly a welcoming community. So let's try to end on a positive note. All you guys, or the three of you we have left, just say something positive about Fast Plastic. You know, maybe a memory over the years or just a moment. Whatever you want to say, you got 30 seconds. And leading off is going to be Rob.
My Fast Plastic moment, I would say raking Joel DeRoche off the field the first year. Dog shit bum. Just like all the West Coast guys, dog shit bums. Including Sylvie. Dog shit bum.
Bonus points.
All right. And next up is Toast.
The best Fast Plastic memory for me has to be last year at the house. I think we had 11 to 12 Wifflers in there. I mean, it was Jordan was eating popcorn like Joey Chestnut. Sorry, my phone just fell. He was eating popcorn like Joey Chestnut. Rob was fattening him up like a Thanksgiving Day turkey, trying to make him cramp up the next day. But, you know, Jordan's got the durability of a goddamn bull from the Mediterranean. The kid goes out there, he's ready to fucking fight, end of the day. Steffi almost burnt the house down with pizza rolls. Luckily, I know how to stop, drop, and roll. I saved lives that day, too. As well as Connor, I saw his whole body twitch. I'm not sure what's wrong. Not sure what's wrong.
The face of dehydration.
Yeah, that could be
brain fungus.
I'm not sure, but it could be that, or he was just having.
I was also concussed.
Also concussed as well. That's
that was Saturday night.
That is very fair. But I would say the best memory would have to be at the house last year. I mean, I've never seen anyone peg a deer with a wiffle ball. Packer did that.
That's fair.
Jordan eating like Kobayashi. Rob feeding him like a little fat girl. I mean, it was like Rob had food porn feeding Jordan the whole time.
Yep.
It was some really weird shit.
Yep.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. And, you know, spending
it's about
time
those with moments.
Guys. So I'd say last year's house was the best memory for me, for sure.
All right. I'm going to give you a bonus point for bringing up that whole situation about Bob feeding Jordan 3 times his body weight. I'm going to give Bob a point and a half.
Come on.
For feeding Jordan.
3
times
Jordan.
His body
there
weight.
There you go. You love that.
That's
all right.
Bob probably shed half his body weight working it off, getting him the food. And I'm going to give Jordan a bonus point for consuming 3 times his body weight because that was awesome.
All right. Hasn't even
and
said
then
it. He already
the
got
next
a point.
Through that makes 3 straight games.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Jordan, you're up next. What do you got?
Favorite memories, I would say playing in the national championship game 2 years in a row, especially last year. Very
exciting back and forth game. There's the year in 2018 where I had someone leave my team, and my team really wasn't that good, but we ended up making the national finals with a skeleton crew, and those people that left us ended up watching. That will never get old, that feeling right there. That house last year was great. The popcorn that Rob makes, fantastic. But I'm looking forward more to the memories that we are all going to create with a non-restricted tournament and with people that listen to the players and don't go hiding after ruining their own said tournament. So I'm looking forward to the new memories to be made. Fuck COVID. Fuck ISIS. That's all I got to say about that one.
Wow. Wow. Love that.
Love it.
I also agree with fuck ISIS.
Making Connor's job hard.
Yep. Let me do some math here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Calculating. It could take up to 45 minutes.
That's fair.
I cut one of them out. It's been a very toxic show, and I love it.
Let me count, dude. You know I can't fucking multitask.
I'm a huge fan of this guy, you know. Got a lot of pass, but sometimes he's pretty miserable. And that man is Bob Landreau. So, I'm sorry, Bob, but you've been with Lemonaded.
What?
All right.
Wow.
You had a good run. You were a true Cinderella story in this. You almost came back and won the whole thing.
You missed by a point. I got a question.
Sorry, you've been with Lemonaded.
I'm sorry. Good run. You were the dark horse in this, but it's not going to be enough.
Okay, so moving on to the mystery question. These guys, they got the four other questions earlier. They could have prepared. They probably didn't anyway. But moving on to this question.
This is the one right here.
All right, yeah. Moving on to the mystery question. So also, I want to start off by saying that my favorite thing about wiffle ball is that the rules are literally different everywhere you go. It's like everyone's got their own backyard house rules. But a lot of people recently have been talking about how you kind of need more unity and everyone should have sort of one set of rules to have everyone come together and you can compete against each other with a lot more people. And a lot of people also sort of criticize Wiffle Inc. for not sort of taking the lead and taking charge with that. But honestly, if that did happen, I think the rules they would set would be the ones on the website. It's a pizza slice, yellow bat, medium pitch, unscuffed ball. So if that happened, would you guys rally around and try to play that style that becomes more mainstream, or would you stick to that fast pitch, cut ball, big bat, fast plastic style because that's kind of more intense?
Who's going first?
Connor, you decide who goes first. It's your show. Whoever's winning right, should be able to pick first or second.
One through ten.
No. You have the point. You have the point system.
I'm going first. Listen, Wiffle Inc. has never supported my history of playing wiffle ball. So they can eat a bag of dicks. I wish personally that we all played blitz ball because you look on all of blitz ball social media, they're promoting their players, they're reposting sick clips. So fuck Wiffle Ball Inc. I will play by the rules that we play with currently. I feel like it's the truest comparison and similarity to baseball. Any style that promotes a swinging bunt getting you potentially a guaranteed single or a double, I feel like that's Fugazi, which is base running. It's not that I don't like it. I just think that it's very fluky, and it doesn't promote the game playing out smoothly and efficiently without any circus plays and any bullshit. So with Ball Link, eat a bag of dicks. I would stick with the style that we have, and I wish that those players in the Midwest would come out and try it at least, because we went to their tournament, and we played their rules. So I would love to play those guys in our style, and I think they might even like it, and they'd play it more moving forward. But hopefully they do it. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be there, and I will be in Chicago as well, so I'm very excited. Looking forward to that. Fuck with bowling. Eat a bag of dicks. This show has gone on far too long. I'm going to go play Fortnite now.
All right. I hope you don't win. But good news for you, Jordan. I have never seen someone play blitz ball and run the bases.
Exactly. Yeah, anyway. Blitz ball knows what they're doing. I wish we all played blitz ball, honestly. We would get the support, and who knows where we would be. Yeah. With bowling sitting on a potential gold mine, you know? Their business isn't doing any better, you know, with the way that they're on. What's the worst that could happen? They sell more products. They expand for the West Coast, the Midwest, Texas, a lot of those southern states that they are not really making a lot of revenue in. But what do I know? You know, I'm just a fucking phys ed.
Yeah, and all those blitzball kids are really young. I mean, if blitzball is where the talent goes, we might all have to learn how to throw one.
Yeah,
anyway,
we'll fuck soon.
On to you, Toast.
Bonus point for taking charge and making Toast your bitch by saying you're going to go first. It's your turn now, Toast.
awesome. Yeah, this definitely wasn't lopsided coming into it, but you know, it's hard to match Jumpy's enthusiasm about the game. I'm working at an uphill battle here, but I'm gonna shoot straight up off the hip. If that is how they're setting the tournament, I mean, I'm still gonna show up and I'm still gonna dominate because I'm better than everybody else on the field. That's how I feel, no matter what about it. If we play fast pitch, if we play with yellow bat, if we play with unscuffed, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna beat you because I'm better than you. That's the way I feel. And if you don't think so, then come and play me. The same thing that Jordan said. I'm not gonna get in a pissing contest with him. I'm just gonna be straight up. The question was asked, if it had to be played this way, would you play it? Yes, I'd play it, and I'd probably dominate at it because I'm better than a lot of other people. And I'm better than a lot of the other burners and other people that are very scared on Twitter to come out and play. And I am, I feel confident enough to travel and spend thousands of dollars to come and play tournaments and to go other places and play other formats and other things like that. Whereas other people don't feel the need to do that. Maybe that's your competitive side. Maybe it's mine. I don't know. But end of the day, if they made us play that way, then I would play it and take their money and then promote it the way that I wanted to promote it. So there's that. Take it as you will.
Yeah, I for one never want to learn how to throw a blitz ball. I'm wiffle ball for life. But I'm not making the point system. It's Connor. So Connor, who won?
So I'm going to have to go with Toast just edging out the Jumpman on this one. He really emphasized the point that scared. He'll go play anyone no matter what style, whatever. He'll fly from Georgia to fucking Canada to play whoever the fuck's talking shit. And you know what? You got to respect that. But they were both great answers. It was really a toss-up. Jordan made unbelievable points about Wiffle Link. So it's really like it could have gone either way. Because Wiffle Link, they do fucking suck. And that's very true. They need to get behind us or eat shit, and we should play something else and make our own ball.
I do want to come in and defend Wiffling for 1 second here, because I did start the question saying about how I love that the rules are actually different everywhere you go. And I've talked to the guy who runs the company, and part of why he doesn't really run any tournaments like that is because he doesn't really want to tell anyone how to play, because there is so much variety in the rules. And it's not like he's stopping anyone else from doing their own thing. So that'll be my last bit. And, so, Jordan, I forgot to offer this to everyone else, but do you have any last words?
Fuck COVID. Why did this happen in the wintertime? This is bullshit, and I hope to be at the nearest craps table ASAP. I'm going to go fucking enjoy the night now.
All right, and Toast, we're living in your world.
Listen, it's not my world, man. I'm just here. I'm with Jordan. Fuck COVID. I'm also with Jordan. I'm ready to get out and do some shit. It's fun to go head to head with anyone, but it's even funner to go to head to head with somebody like Jordan, because he brings high patch, and I really wasn't expecting to win tonight. I guess it really is the year of the soup and toast treaty, so I'm all about that. The guy's really hot. I'm really about that.
Let's go, baby.
That's really pumped over there. So come on, let's go.
Come on. Yeah, I think Soup's point system was actually just based on him having a crush on Toast, so a lot of free points there. 250 points just for signing your name.
I just put a bunch of numbers down next to their names, and I think I mixed a few up because I'm drunk, and Toast ended up winning.
I'm pretty sure Jordan was supposed to win, because Connor hates me. So.
Jordan wins everything.
I wanted the two more exciting people. I thought Red would probably be in there. I was like, it's going to be more exciting, and I ended up being you two, so...
Nope. Either way, this whole episode is still talking. Goddamn fire!
This is gonna be a nightmare to edit.
Sorry to bring the intensity you wanted, Connor. I should have been drunk.
Well,
wasn't drunk, man.
I wanted you to be.
Love it.
I want me to do. Really try and hurt someone's feelings. Like your Billy answer was good, but after that, you like.